Now, I don't know if many of you read the Irish Times, but I read it occasionally. And I particularly love the letters page. And it was actually the letters page in the Irish Times that has inspired my next discussion. Because a couple of weeks ago, somebody wrote into the letters page and they were, I think it might have been initially in the context of fuel prices and the price of petrol and how we're all trying to take less car journeys. But this person was reminiscing about back in the day when they'd go on car trips or road trips with the family and you didn't have to worry about the price of petrol and you'd go here, there and everywhere and the car would be a banger and there'd be no seatbelts in the back and all the kids would pile into the back of it and nobody ever worried about the car being overcrowded or whatever. And that sparked a load of other letters into the Irish Times, including this one from Mary Shocknessy in Galway. And she wrote, "My mother drove seven of us, including the baby, in his carry cot and our neighbour with a large basket of eggs for the market. We were all in her trusty Fiat 600 known as the Little Grey Mouse. There were no health and safety worries back in the 70s, Mary wrote. And I was thinking, you know, long before anyone could afford to go to Lanzarote or other exotic locations, families and couples, I suppose, had what they call day trips or car trips, where they all piled into the car and the car was inevitably a banger and they headed off somewhere for the day. It might be somewhere in Kerry, they might have gone further afield. And there was no eating out. There was usually a picnic basket and the kids would be fighting in the back and there would be a match on the radio and Mihal O'Hare's voice would be booming out through the car radio, if you had a car radio. And I think lots of people out there will have nice memories of those days. And I'd love you, the listener, to share them with me. And joining me in studio to get the ball rolling, I have three guests from Toastmasters here in Tralee, and I'm delighted to have them all in studio. First of all, we will start with Lily Tagney. Lily's been on with us before. She's originally from Waterford, but now living in Tralee. We also have John McGillicuddy, who is a Tralee man living in Tralee. And we have Derry Butler, who is a tip man living in Tralee. So have I got all that much right? I have.
Yeah.
Very good. Lily, do you have memories of car trips back in the day?
I certainly do. I remember when my kids were small and we had a banger of a car, as you read from that letter there. We'd got as far as Ballymullen Castle and we were just crossing the bridge to go to South Kerry. We had four kids at the time and they were all in the back, behaving themselves quite well, until the first plaintiff over going over Ballymullen Bridge, "Are we there yet?" And my husband, I could see his hands tightening on the wheel of the car. And so we hadn't even started our journey when the first "Are we there yet?" And that kept going and kept going and kept going. We arrived in South Kerry. We had our picnic with us and our bottle of milk for the tea and so on and so forth, which was very handy because at some stage around Carra Lake, the steam started to come out of the front of the bonnet of the car. And with explosives, my husband got out of the car and he opened up the bonnet and, of course, the radiator leaking. And
oh,
it was now run dry. And so we had to leave it cool. But the empty bottle from the milk that we had used on our picnic came in very handy because there was a stream running the side of the road and we were able to fill the bottle of water. And eventually, when the radiator got cool enough, we filled it up and another bottle to take home with us, a day I will never forget.
And back on your merry way back to Tralee.
Exactly, yes.
So
yes.
Four of them in the back. And were they young at the time?
The lad that started the plaintive cry, "Are we there yet?" He was the youngest and he would have been about five.
Okay.
And as far as he was concerned, he did not want to be on this long journey.
Yeah, because it's so hard to keep kids amused in car journeys.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, how many blue cars have we seen and how many of this and how many of that? And you're exhausted. The mother is exhausted and trying to entertain the children. It's practically impossible.
And where in South Kerry did you go? Can you remember?
Carra Lake.
Oh, you said, sorry, yes, Carra Lake. Yeah. And you had a picnic.
And we had a picnic, the usual thing. And that was enjoyable from that part of the journey. It definitely was enjoyable. But when you have kids, the day journeys, but they were the only things we had back then. You know, day journeys. I mean, continental holidays were unheard of. I remember in Dublin, 1962, there was I was nursing and there was a crowd ahead of behind me and they decided that they were going to go to Lanzarote And I remember it was so unheard of that the hospital was rocking with it. This crowd, Lanzarote, who did they think they were? That was the general underlying
notions.
Yeah, to go to Lanzarote.
So exotic, yeah. Back, and of course, today's generation of kids, they've been to Lanzarote 5 or 6 times before they're 10 years old.
Exactly.
Probably.
It was definitely day trips for us anyway.
Well, it sounded like good fun all the same. Maybe not for you, though. John, what about you? Did you go as on day trips as a family?
We hadn't even a car. My father had a big rally bike. That's what he had. And if we wanted to go for a swim or anything like that, what he used to do is he'd put one of us on the bar and one of us on the carrier and cycle away back to Kilfenora was a regular spot for him, and we used to often swim there. So I even predate the cars to do this.
So you're talking about your own childhood?
I'm talking about my own childhood.
Yeah. So what decade are we talking about?
It would have been in the 60s, I suppose, really.
In the 60s. Yeah. So you went from where into Tralee?
We went from Tralee to Kilfenora, the tanker there.
Out to Kilfenora. Yeah. That's a fair old journey on a bike.
And he used to put us, the two of us, up in it and cycle away. And that's the way, that was his only mode of transport. He never owned a car, ever.
Really? No. Yeah. And can you remember being excited about heading out to Kilfenora?
I think as kids you just accepted it like as part of the, you know, part of the, what would you say, the occasion, like, you know.
Yeah.
So you didn't kind of really take much notice. We used to go on holidays then as well. And we used to go to my aunt in Cork. I had another aunt in Limerick. And I had an uncle in Dublin. So they were our holiday destinations as well. And then later on, we went on holidays, very exotic ones, to Ballyburn, Ballyhaig, and we spent 2 weeks in Castle Gregory as well. So they were all local, but they were fantastic holidays.
And how did you get to those destinations without a car?
We got to Castle Gregory. We went out on a bus, and we put our bikes into the back of the bus, and we stayed in Fitzgerald's. They had a little guest house there in Castle Gregory, and we stayed there for 2 weeks. And we used to use the bikes then to cycle around. And I remember on the way back, for some reason, they couldn't put our bikes on the bus. So myself, my dad, and my younger brother, Des, cycled back in from Castle Gregory to Tralee. And my mother went home on the bus.
Your mother went home on the bus. So I'm fascinated by the thought of the three of you heading off to Kilfenora on the bike.
Yeah.
And of course, you wouldn't be stopped by the guards or anything back in those days.
Oh, no. There was very little guards around or anything like that.
Was it one on the bar and one on the...
One up in the bar and one up in the carrier. But that wasn't unusual. Like, an awful lot of men, that was their only, you know,
mode of transport. And that was your day trip?
That was all day trip, you know.
Yeah. And Derry, what about you? You grew up in Tipp, so I presume.
Yeah, I grew up in Tipperary. We went everywhere by car. And this is back in the 50s, because when my mother got married in 48, she insisted that my father showed her how to drive. And at the time, there was only two other ladies in the town of Turles that could drive cars. And that was Nurse Maloney and Nurse Austin and my mother. And my mother had a great saying. If she was driving, she was a very fast driver. And anyone in front of her, she'd say, "Come on, Julie, keep him out of the way.
Come on, Julie.
Don't you know I'm behind you?" And then if there was a man in front of her and he was out in the middle of the road, "Johnny owned the road," she'd say, "Will you move in and let me pass? I'm in a hurry." But we'd head off on a Sunday, usually, to her sister in Clonmel. They had a pub. And when we get to Clonmel, my father would go into the bar and he'd have his two little pints of beer, and we'd be taken upstairs and playing around and caffling and having fun. My mother would always bring sandwiches and all that, even though they weren't wanted, and rhubarb tart. My aunt was very posh, so she'd have all the best of cakes bought from the local shop, and they'd be all up in a three-tier...
Cake stand. Yeah.
And looking beautiful. But when we'd be asked what we'd want mother's apple tart.
Yes.
Yeah. Not auntie's rhubarb tart, no.
But anyway, on turn to go home, my father would get into the passenger seat and mother would drive. It would take us an hour to get down to Clonmel, but it always only took 3/4 of an hour to get back.
When Mammy was behind the wheel.
Mammy was behind the wheel. Look out.
So she was well ahead of her time, wasn't she?
Way ahead, because even some years after when we started playing hurling, you know, at under 14, 15, and if we were in a hurry to get to Holy Cross to the pitch for a match, my father would say, "I'll run you over, lads." "Oh, Dad, oh, no, Dad, we're in a hurry. Mum, you'd run us over."
Mum will run us over, yeah.
And she was brilliant. She
pedal
was,
to the metal.
Pedal to the metal, but she was great that way. You know, there was great fun. Again, there was five children and one sat on the handbrake, as one would. No seatbelts, no nothing. Four on the back and three in front. That's the way it went.
And that's the way it was back then. Nobody took any notice.
Yeah, the health and safety was very low on the list and felt.
No radio. But what the radio was, you made up the radio by singing.
Singing, yes.
He sang in the car.
Sang all the way down and sang all the way back.
And do you remember those days fondly, Derry? I mean,
they were brilliant.
Great memories.
They were great because when we come back then, and that could be half seven at night, we were on a farm. So therefore the cows had to be brought in, the cows had to be milked, all the jobs had to be done. It could be half ten at night again, you get finished. But you just collapsed. You come in and had something just... At that time, it was maybe a glass of milk and something, and just you really just. And the following morning, you're up again at 6:30, get the jobs done again. So, the only other time we didn't, going back to the holiday, we wouldn't go that often down to Clonmel because we lived about 3 miles from Thurles. So, there was always a huge game in Simple Stadium. So, there'd be always a Munster final or some big match. So, it was kind of the mecca for us.
That was another day out then.
Oh, yeah.
And you mentioned there, of course, you were all piled into the back of the car. And can you remember what kind of a car you had?
Yeah, an Anglia car. And the number was FI8713. Oh,
that's astounding. You even remember the registration plate. And Lily, what kind of car did you have in your family, when your own kids? The one that broke down.
I can't remember the make of that particular car, but we it obviously carried us where we wanted to go. But you're talking there about going places. When we live beside the seaside, so we had a lot of people that came to visit us on day trips, and my mother would be given out like mad because there was another gang arriving and another gang arriving. But then we, in our turn, the only place we ever went to were holidays to our relatives. And my mother had a sister in Cork, so we all got a week in Cork with that particular aunt. And I remember back then, you wouldn't play in the house like the children today now. They've play dates and they come into the house. Back then, we played outside the house. You got up in the morning and you left and you weren't seen again until the evening time. And where my particular aunt lived, there was a field up at the top of the road called the Tank Field. And every child in the neighbourhood would land into that tank field. So you'd have a great day of fun, absolutely. And you'd come home then, you'd have whatever evening meal you'd have and go to bed, and the same thing would happen tomorrow. That was your entertainment, the other kids around you. It wasn't much different from where I lived, because on a Saturday, you were warned going out on a Saturday morning, don't forget you have to go to confession at 12. And you'd have to go to
different
confession
times.
Different times.
And Lily, you mentioned as well about the bottle, the glass bottle that was so handy.
Yes, because you
use it for the milk in the picnic.
That's right, then...
put it into the water and the radiator. But what else did you remember bringing with you? Because I'm trying to tease out what people ate on these days out back in the day.
Well, you had the jam sandwiches and ham and cheese and a boiled egg, cold. And then you'd peel it when you got there, you know, and you'd have your boiled egg in your hand.
And you just eat the boiled egg out of your hand.
And you'd eat the boiled egg.
So there was no fancy refrigerated boxes or picnic boxes?
Well, we didn't have a fridge at home at the time, so there certainly wasn't any refrigerator or anything in the car. I remember the first fridge we got at home, my mother wouldn't put anything into it. And eventually she was persuaded. But the reason why, she said that it smelt of the fridge when it was taken out of the fridge. And so I can remember well the first fridge we ever got, and she still kept the cheese in the press.
Derry, did you ever bring food with you on these days out too?
Yeah, my mother was a very good cook, but she used to make a big fruit cake. But my father used to call it a railway cake. And we'd say, why, Dad, do you call it a railway cake? There's so few curtains. There was one at every station.
And that would be wrapped up and
all wrapped up in tin foil, and she obviously was a great cook, making tarts and all that. So they were great times.
Fantastic.
And then we had trips to Dublin. My mother had an aunt in Dublin, and I kind of fell in between in the group.
Yeah.
So I was taken up as a kind of what would be too big on me would fit the eldest, and what would be you know, or fit the youngest, and what'd be too
small on you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it was all that way along. I fit it in between.
Hand-me-downs, yeah. We were talking about hand-me-downs last week on the programme. We've gone very nostalgic.
And I was taken on a steam train. My uncle was driving the steam train.
Yeah.
So into Turles, up on the train, and all the way to Dublin. And then the bus, the number 16 bus, then out to Rathfarnham.
Very good.
Did any of the three of you ever go abroad as children? No, presumably not.
Absolutely unheard of.
We used to go to Limerick, and the highlight of it was that there was a chipper straight across the road from my aunt's house. It was called Donkey Ford's. It's a well-known chipper.
Donkey Ford's, I've heard of it. Yeah, it's still there, isn't it?
Yeah, the chipper's still there, but my aunt's house is gone. They're not the whole lot. But we used to be delighted. It used to make our holiday because we'd get chips every night. And when I was coming up, it was very, very rare that you'd get chips. You might get them once every 6 months, that kind of thing. But it was so close to us, right across the road. We thought we'd died and gone to heaven.
Yeah. And when you were going on the saddle of the bike or the bar of the bike on the day trip to Kilfenora for a swim or whatever, did you bring? You probably didn't bring food with you because there was no.
No, I don't. Yeah. I don't ever remember bringing food with us. I don't think we did. I said the journey was so short, and unlike Derry's mother, my mother wasn't a great cook. We invited.
So, out of curiosity, I know it's off the point, but can any of you remember how old you were the first time you went abroad? Just roughly, even decades.
I think my children were well reared, and I think my husband was retiring, and the children gave us a trip to Paris.
Yeah,
but so I would have been quite old.
Yeah, that was your first time on
the
plane.
That was my first time. Yeah.
And what about you, John?
The first time on a plane, I went to England working two summers. That was my first time abroad. But my first holiday abroad was when we got married. We went to Crete for our honeymoon.
Lovely.
And that was a big step at the time. It was kind of considered fairly exotic at that stage, you know.
And what about you, Derry?
Berlin in 1972, and it was to do with work.
Yeah, so you were a fully fledged adult.
Yeah, and who was with me on the same trip? This is one for the radio. Michael Lowry, the one and only Michael Lowry. We both worked in
the politician.
We both worked in refrigeration. And even at that stage, he was 22 years of age. And what he was able to think and do was unreal. He was light years ahead of everyone.
There you go.
And he said, everyone, and the strange thing is, if he was going out for a meal, he always tipped before the meal. And he says, never tip after, tip before. Because you'll get the best service.
You'll get the best service.
Hope I didn't tip it after.
Oh, fantastic. Listen, we were getting inundated with fabulous memories here from people about their day trips. But it was lovely for the three of you to come in and share your own personal stories. And just before we finish up, Lily, truly Toastmasters continues to go from strength to strength.
Indeed it does. And there's a new year ahead of us now. And Derry will probably be better able to tell you that there's new premises online. I'll leave it to you, Derry.
Yeah, we're moving into St. Brendan's parish parochial house.
House, yeah.
Yeah, and it'll be beautiful. And thanks very, very much to Father Padraig. You know, he's been so kind.
Very good. You know, and I mean, you're all three of you are a great advert because you came on live radio and chatted away, no bother at all. So
it'll be lovely to go back to face-to-face meetings. Because the Zoom meetings, they didn't have the same atmosphere.
Of course,
people weren't able to kind of pick up on body language and, you know, different things.
Absolutely.
Like that.
Absolutely, yeah. It's low, and even with radio, we see that. It's just so great to have the three of you here in front of me. And we've got to let it go, guys. But great memories there, fabulous memories and great nostalgia.
Happy 4th of July.
And happy 4th of July to you all as well.